come up to our own standards, we may not have done anything especially wicked, but we are sinners because we are not just, because we are just not good enough. I sin when I do what I want, no matter what the consequences. And the Bible says, for each of us has turned into his own way. That's Isaiah 53 verse 6. This is the cause of our trouble, unhappiness and quarrels. We can get to be quite selfish, can't we, at times? You know, I'm doing this for me, not for anybody else. I want my own way. I'm not going to abide by the rules and the regulations. Page 6. Sin is not just killing, stealing or telling lies. I sin when I live to please myself rather than God. Ooh, that seems a bit strict, doesn't it? You mean I'm not going to be able to have any fun? No. What we're saying and what the Word of God says is that when you do the will of God, when you do the plans and purpose of God, when you're pleasing God, that you can have so much fun.
Amen.
When I quit my job all them years ago, somebody said to me, well, that's all your holidays abroad over and done with, you know. Because I used to go to work just so I could go on holiday. So that's my policy. And they said, that's all your holidays done now abroad, you'll not have any more. Well, you know, when I quit working for the secular world and put everything into the kingdom of God, I travelled more miles, I saw more places, and I've been to more places than I probably would have ever imagined. Why? Because I put God first. You heard me a few weeks ago remind you of Grace's testimony of when she wanted to go on a cruise. Now, if she'd have asked me for about a cruise, I'd have said, there's no way. You can even think about that, you know. But you see, she knew that, so she went to a higher authority.
Amen.
And said, you know, God, I'd like to go on a cruise, but I want to go with somebody. And so God said, fine, I'll fix it. You see, he's your Heavenly Father. Have you noticed that, you know, he asked your dad, he said, I'll fix it. I'll try and sort it for you. Isn't that right, Claire? Eh? Dads can do anything. That's right. You know, anything that little lads manage to break, oh, here, Dad, you fix it. Right, Dad can fix it. They knew every time if they broke something or whatever, Dad will fix it. He could fix anything. Dad never fails. And that's, you know, and we have to approach God in the same way. He'll fix it. He'll fix it. Just got to give it to him. To let him fix it. Let go of it, let him fix it. The problem is we don't let go of it. And when Dad's saying, alright, leave it with me. I'll do it. In a minute, leave it with me. No. I'm in a tussle. Got to leave it. Let him start the process. He goes on to say on page 6, when I sin I can't be bothered with God or with other people. When I say I'm my own boss, it's my life, I can do what I like with it. This is sin. I, in the middle, me first. That's where Satan fell down. I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I will walk, you know, and it was I, and you know, right in the middle of pride is the letter I. And that's what God comes against. That's what brings us down. Moving on, I sin when I do not love God with all of my heart. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Matthew 22 and verses 37 to 38. No, not one of us has loved God like this. We have all broken the great commandment. We are all self-centered rather than God-centered. Who, me? But there's always something in there that's mine. It's mine, isn't it? Is that right, Jonathan? It's mine. You can't have me. It's mine. Self-centered. Sin and selfishness spoils our lives. They spread like weeds in a garden. Worst of all, they separate us from God. This is why God seems remote and irrelevant. He's pure and holy and hates all sin. It blocks the way to him. Notice it blocks the way to him. It doesn't block his way to us. But it blocks our way to him. Sin cuts us off from God, both now and in the life to come. But be quite clear about this. Hell is a grim and dreadful reality for all who reject Jesus Christ in this life. What are you going to do about it? You cannot remove the barrier. You cannot save yourself. Trying to help others and doing good cannot remove this barrier either. If sin results in being cut off from God, is there no hope for us? Has God washed his hands of us? No, thankfully. Why Jesus came. A wonderful verse of scripture. God is love. He proves his love to us by sending Jesus into the world, fully human and fully God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus did not come into existence at Bethlehem. He has always been long before time began. Amen. We said right at the beginning, God in a triune God. Amen. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. God, Jesus was there at the creation of all things. Yeah. The Word that went out. So Jesus was there. He was part of creation. We sing that chorus, don't we? Before the worlds began, you were on his mind. He knew you. This is powerful, that God knew you. Bethlehem was how he chose to enter our world. Born of a human Mary and the divine Holy Spirit. Perfect man, perfect God. His life and teachings were a model for all. He loved and accepted all people, whoever they were. That's a tough call, that one, isn't it? Yeah. I don't like them. They told me this and said this about me, and so it goes on, don't it? Escalates. But Jesus loved everybody, and we have to adapt that same attitude. It's walking, growing into that perfection. To know him was to know God, but he did not just come to live a perfect life and show us what God is really like. He also came to remove the barrier between us and God once and for all. We cannot get back to God on our own. We are not good enough. What is needed is someone who has no sin in his own life, who can bring us back to a close relationship with God. You see, the relationship that we had with God was broken. We were separated. See, God cannot stand the presence of sin, so God drove out Adam and Eve from the garden. And so there was a separation. But Jesus came to bridge that separation, to draw us back to himself and to draw us closer to him. God's character is like a coin with two sides, justice and love. His justice rightly condemns us for sin, must be punished. His love makes him long for us to become his friends again. So he is a just God, but he's a loving God at the same time. On the cross, his justice and love were perfectly satisfied. Sin had to be punished, so Jesus takes the price and pays that price for sin. So God, in his love, sent his son Jesus to die in our place, bearing the death penalty for our sins deserved. That is why he cried from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we know that story, and we're coming up to that, and Easter's coming, and we'll be probably talking some more about that at this Easter time. But we're to realise that Jesus came to pay that price, and no matter where we are now, God is taking us along a journey, and the journey will never stop for us. It's an eternal journey. Isn't that great? You know, some people think, oh, you're going to live for 60, 70, 80 years. I mean, some are living less than that these days. And yet we're living in a society where We've got everything going for us in the medical realm and everything else, and yet people are dying quite young really these days. And yet when we come to Jesus, God's intention is that we're going to live forever. He's restoring us back to his original creation. Death was never on God's agenda. There was never anything that died before sin came into the world. Even everything lived. There was no death. Leaves didn't fall off trees. Do you know why? Because we didn't have a summer, a winter, and a spring, and an autumn. Didn't exist. Wow. The more you think about this, the more it goes on. That's right. Yeah. There wasn't a dormant season. It just carried on. Carried on. Absolutely. And the glory of God was present on the earth. Yeah. You know. It's a fantastic situation. We'll go into that more later. We better not get into that at the moment. Do you want to live an easygoing, do as you like life? Do you want to remain dissatisfied and only know the empty passing pleasures of the world? Then don't read any further. Carry on just being as you are. Don't bother about Jesus. Bit of a blunt statement there, really. But we know that first thing we have to bring a person to and ourselves to is to admit to the fact that we've sinned in the sight of God, and we've to be sorry and repent, hate our sin, and be willing to turn from the very thought, word, action, habit that you know to be wrong. We need something to believe in, and that's Jesus Christ, that he died on a cross and he took our guilt, he took our penalty for sin, and he took it with him. And he paid the price. Something to consider, that Jesus never promised it would be easy. You know, come to Jesus and everything will be fine. That's what I got told. They lied. They lied to me. Yeah. It's, you know, come to Jesus, it's a bed of roses. Have you ever fallen in a bed of roses? Whew, we got rid of our roses. The thorns were nasty. So, Jesus never promised it would be easy. But, you know, we're going to expect some opposition. Sneers, misunderstanding. Every part of your life, work, friendship, time, money, must come under the control of Jesus, must come under the control of God. Something we must do, accept Jesus Christ into our lives to be Lord, to control you, your Saviour to cleanse you, your friend to guide you and to be with you. Many miss the last step and so never become to know Jesus Christ, perhaps. No verse in the Bible makes this last step clearer than Revelation 3:20. Jesus speaking and says, Here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Jesus stands at your life's door, knocking. And guess what? The handle is on your side to open the door. There is not a handle on the outside. And so he stands knocking at your life's door and saying, I want to come in. I want to be your friend. I want to help you. I want to help you through life. I want to equip you to go through life and to live life to its fullest. And I want to equip you to live and prepare your life for eternity. But it's that realization first that we're sinners, that we've made our mistakes, we've done wrong things, we've said wrong things, and that unless we confess our sins to God, repent, say that's it, I don't want any more to do with that. And sometimes it can be very difficult for people who've lived a good life, you know, haven't really done any, as the world terms it, big sins, you know, and I'm a good person, I give to Oxfam, I give to this and I give to that and I do all this and I do that, and it's like, yeah, but it's not about what you do. It's all about what Jesus has done for you. And these are the things we have to get over to these people on the street. It's not about what you've done. And some of them will, you know, can tell you some real stories, can't they? It's about what Jesus has done. Neither can you be such a wicked sinner that Jesus can't sort you out, and neither are you such a great person that you don't need Jesus. None of those. The two extremes don't exist. Sin is sin, and that's it. You were born a sinner. You didn't have to do anything. That's how you came into the world. You were born a sinner. Jesus came to take you out of that sinful situation and to place you into a new situation. But he stands at the door of your life and he knocks. And he needs you to turn the key, to open the door, so that you can then, so that he can enter into you, into that relationship, and you can enter into that relationship with him. And so we get people now coming in, and it's Christ that is on the outside, but he wants to be on the inside. And it can only be done through that sacrifice of the cross. So Christ is knocking, and he's pleading with people's lives. I was talking with Brian, the guy that brought the three lads over to Teen Challenge just today, and he was saying there are so many opportunities. They've got so many opportunities in prison at the moment to share the gospel, that they actually can't get into every event. They've actually turned a prison away because they cannot go. They've got so much to do, and so many things happening. And he said, and he was saying, you know, he says, it seems to be right now that the Spirit of God is just doing what he wants to do, is reaching lives, and there is a move of the Spirit. But we have to be willing to let God move. You have to be willing to let God move you. You haven't got to be entrenched. We can't judge anybody. You can't turn around to somebody and you should do this, this and this. They've got to see, you've got to show them the Word of God, you've got to show them the love of God, and they've got to want to do it. I mean, you would love to be able to, you know, force your children to do the right things. But when your back's turned, what do they do? You don't know. Until you hear the screams. Then you realise they're not doing what you wanted them to do. Other, you know. Oh, it's that one, wasn't it? That one, was it? That one, yeah. And so, it has to be a willingness that we desire to do. We desire to follow God. We desire to move on with God. I can't put your arm up your back and make you do it. And you can't put my arm up my back and make me do it. We can encourage one another, but we can't force each other. And so many people try to force it. Do you know, I thank God as a church, the way we are now, we're not a church that forces. We're a church that leads by an example. We're a church that leads by love, that shows love, that is compassionate. And that just like Jesus, he went amongst the sinners and he accepted them where they were. And began to reach to them. And that is what I believe that you guys are all doing at the moment. You're reaching down to these people. You're reaching into their lives. And you're having an effect on them. And you're having a powerful effect on their lives. You are challenging them with Jesus. They are seeing Jesus in you as individuals. And that is so exciting for me. You're not condemning them. You're not laying rules or regulations down. They know all about rules, regulations, and they break every one of them. And we've all broken rules, you know. Anybody driven through a red light today? Don't all put your hands up at once, you know. Yeah. You know. But, you know, broke the speed limit? Anybody gone above? There you go. Easy. It's so easy to do as well, isn't it? We could be condemned forever. The thing, if we would, you know. Oh, he always breaks his speed limits. There isn't such a thing anymore. 10% don't apply anymore. You know that. Being an advanced rider, you should know by now that does not apply. So let's just move on to page 13 and just finish off. The Lord Jesus. This is the prayer, basically. Lord Jesus, I know that I've sinned in thought, word and action. There are so many good things I have not done. There are so many simple things I have done. I'm sorry for my sins. I turn from everything I know to be wrong. You gave your life upon the cross for me. Gratefully I give my life back to you. Now I ask you to come into my life. Come in as my Saviour to cleanse me. Come in as my Lord to control me. And I will serve you all my remaining years of my life in complete obedience. Amen. And I want you to sort of keep these books, these booklets. We bought them so that you can keep them, you can use them for yourself and to encourage others at times, and just to help you just focus at times. Sometimes you think, well, how can I talk to this person? This is just to sort of help you that, you know, it's a journey into life. And along the way, we're going to make some mistakes. We're going to have a few, you know, things are going to fall over at times, get flat tires and, you know, just hinder the progress. But just because our progress is hindered, it doesn't mean that we've failed. We're still alive, we're still here. So while we're still alive, there is still hope, isn't there? Praise God. And so we can move on. And then just to encourage them from the back that, you know, the Bible is the food to their lifestyle for the future. Prayer is air, that like the air that we breathe. Worship is like an exercise as that we go through, and just to encourage them into a new lifestyle. And it's about changing our lifestyles in God. So we'll close at that. Any questions? Philip will answer them. Or no, Jonathan might. Well, yeah, I mean, hell was made for the devil. Hell was not made for sinners in that sense. But sadly, those that choose not to accept Christ as Lord and Saviour, everybody lives. Everybody is a spirit being. And so our spirit, God will not leave wicked spirits to wander throughout time. Because God is going to clean up the universe. And so wicked spirits, hell is a place to contain wicked spirits. And that's where the devil will be contained. He's a fallen angel, a fallen spirit angel. And so he will be contained, and the fallen angels with him. But all those who have a spirit that is anti-God, anti-Christ, will go on and suffer the tortures of hell. What are the tortures of hell? I don't know, really. I mean, there are people who say they've had an experience where they've been. What's hell like? Hell's a place where there's no love. No light. No. It's a place where there's no relief. Constant pain, constant torture from your life's experiences and that. So, and you know, people say, well, When you die, surely you won't remember anything. Well, when this physical frame dies, it won't alter my spirit and it won't alter my soul. So when God gives me, and Jesus said that, you know, that we all will have a new created body. And so when we die and when we go into that spiritual dimension, there's a new body for us. So We'll enter into heaven, and guess what? You'll know me, and I'll know you. Oh, sorry about that. You didn't seem too impressed with that one at all, did you? Some of you might be living next door to me. What? I've got a mansion. You've got a mansion. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's been doing it for over 2,000 years. Yeah. Ah, that's all right. Growling and yeah, right, okay. There'll not be any of that, you see. You know, it's this sort of situation where going to be an absolute perfect place where we can. But then when we get to heaven, does it all end there? No, it doesn't. There's a universe out there that you've not yet seen. There are planets that you've never even seen. What has God created there? Or what is God going to create there for you to rule and reign over? Oh, I'll just nip to the third planet in galaxy whatever and just visit my friend over there and just see how they're doing in over there, you know. You're wacky, Andrew. Well, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, maybe it is true. Yeah. How is it that God knows all things? How is it that when Andrew goes and grabs Nathaniel and says to him, hey, come on, I want you to meet this guy, his name's Jesus, and he's a real tremendous teacher, come and meet him. And he drags him along, and Nathaniel's a bit sceptical. He says, oh, yeah, I've heard all this before. And Jesus knew it. He says, when you were sat under that tree, whoa! How does he know that? There's many things that we yet do not understand. Many things that we shall see that are not yet revealed to us. So I just want to encourage you. And if you come across anybody that hasn't accepted Jesus, or if yourself, you just think, well, I need to go through this again and do it afresh, then do it. But make Jesus Lord of your life and watch things change. Watch your lifestyle. Watch the things that have been happening to you change. When God gets his hands on things, he changes things. You know, he takes that piece of clay and he puts it on that potter's wheel and he begins to reform it and shape it. Gets rid of all the rubbish that's in it, sorts it out and makes it a vessel that's fit for service and use in his kingdom. That's what God is doing with each and every one of us. And if you need Jesus in your life, then let me say this. Make a decision today. Do it today. From our youngest member. I can still see you on the table. You might not be able to see me, but I can see you. And in the same way, God can see us. There's no hiding place with God. And, you know, just let Jesus come into your life. You might be well educated and think you've got all the answers. Let me tell you, you haven't. God's got all the answers. And he's got everything that you need. So I just encourage you, make Jesus Lord of your life. And you'll see things happening tremendously in the future. Amen.